In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we celebrate today the Feast of the Holy Transfiguration, which is preeminently a feast of our Lord and of our encounter with Him. There are many participants in the feast, from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, but the center is always Christ. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And in another account of this event, we hear that when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came to them and said, "Arise, and do not be afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. More than ever, we need to recover this focus on Jesus Christ as Christians. In today's epistle, the Holy Apostle Peter, in the first century, tells his hearers that they already need reminding of this. "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." How much more do we in the 21st century need to refocus on Christ? So much in the world, so much even in church life can become a distraction otherwise. And anniversaries, such as the one we celebrate today, and pilgrimages that we undertake in honor of those anniversaries, 50 years of the founding of New Steep, these are perfect occasions for all of us to recover our focus. Our own life becomes transfigured to the extent that we focus on Christ. Because it is Christ who banishes fear. When the disciples heard the voice on the mountain, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and do not be afraid." St. Anthony the Great, the founder of monastic life, said that fear is a key to discernment. The Lord banishes fear, but if fear remains, then we know that whatever we are experiencing is not from God. St. Anthony writes of this. He says, "The inroads and the displays of the evil spirits is fraught with confusion, with din, with sounds and cryings, from which arise fear in the heart, tumult and confusion of thought, dejection, hatred towards them who live a life of discipline, indifference, grief, remembrance of kinsfolk and fear of death, and finally desire of evil things, disregard of virtue, and unsettled habits." But then St. Anthony, after describing the effects of fear, shows us how to overcome that fear. "Whenever, therefore," he says, "you have seen anything and are afraid, if your fear is immediately taken away, and in place of it comes joy unspeakable, cheerfulness, courage, renewed strength, calmness of thought, boldness and love toward God, then take courage and pray. For joy and a settled state of soul show the holiness of him who is present. Thus Abraham, beholding the Lord, rejoiced. So also John, the voice of Mary, the God-bearer, leaped for gladness." And so it is on this feast. Any fear is banished by the appearance of our Lord. And this is the spirit that we find in monasteries. This is the spirit of joy overcoming fear that has been lived at Minsky for 50 years. is written in the Nous Epipikon. In renouncing the world, we reject what all authentic spiritual traditions have rejected, the emptiness and vanity of the world and its pursuits. At the same time, we aspire to the pursuit rather of the deepest truth as we are able to meet it in the world in which we live, in the world that Christ has redeemed and which awaits his final coming. It is this insistence by the monastics of Nous Epe on preserving the mystery of faith along with its good order and tradition that inspires all of us and focuses all of us on Christ. As Brother Christopher wrote over 20 years ago, Jesus calls to a deepening understanding in response to the unfathomable mystery of God, of his creation, and of ourselves. And he went on to quote St. Gregory of Nyssa, who writes, "As God continues to reveal himself, man continues to wonder, and he never exhausts his desire to see more, since what he is waiting to see is always more magnificent, more divine than all that he has already seen." At the same time, over the decades, communities of Nous Epe have integrated themselves into the wider life of the Orthodox Church. Over the years, hundreds, perhaps thousands of people have discovered this holy place as a place of rest, retreat, and spiritual renewal. In all that they have done in the communal life here, their care for each other in good times and bad, their attention to the formation of new monastics, their breeding and training of German shepherds, their research, publication, and art, and the baking of cheesecakes. By God's grace, all of you have carried out the precepts of your typikon, that excellence and thoroughness should characterize whatever we do. And more than this, you have undertaken everything in a monastic spirit, consciously bringing out the virtues of poverty, chastity, obedience, and humility. You have been an example of monastic industriousness. Like all monasteries, Nous Epe has been a place of struggle, but also of joy. And it is this last note of joy that I would like to leave with you. Because this is the example that we have from all the monastics throughout the ages, that spirit of joy, even at the very beginning with St. Anthony the Great. When St. Athanasius wrote his well-known Life of the Great Ascetic, he said that it was St. Anthony's joy that left such a deep impression on all who came to him. Those who were harsh and cruel left his presence severely chastened, but everyone else left refreshed. As he writes in his life, "It was as if a physician had been given by God to Egypt, for who in grief met Anthony and did not return rejoicing? Who came mourning for his dead and did not forthwith put off his sorrow? Who came in anger and was not converted to friendship? What poor and low-spirited man met him, who hearing him and looking upon him, did not despise wealth and console himself in his poverty? What monk, having been neglectful, came to him and became not all the stronger? What young man, having come to the mountain and seen Anthony, did not forthwith deny himself pleasure and love temperance? Who, when tempted by a demon, came to him and did not find rest? And who came troubled with doubts and did not get quietness of mind?" My brothers and sisters, by the prayers of St. Anthony, by the grace of this glorious feast that we celebrate, may all of us acquire that same spirit of joy that leaves others refreshed and uplifted. And may all of us continue to walk towards the light of Christ, which brings us our salvation brings us that refreshment, brings us that joy, and helps lead us in the direction of the heavenly kingdom. Amen.